Good evening and welcome to this special broadcast of the Pacifica Foundation's Local Station Board Candidates Forum. My name is Aaron Morris. I am the local election supervisor, and it is my privilege to be the moderator for tonight's engagement. This is the first of a total of five such forums in which we plan to have each of the 19 candidates for Local Station Board Listener Member election seats showcased. The format of tonight's forum is a facilitated question and answer session followed by time for questions from listener at home. I will ask a total of four questions and take four questions from call-in listeners. As agreed, each candidate will have an opportunity to address each question in such a way as a question will be directed toward a candidate, and that candidate will have 2 minutes to respond, followed by 1.5 minute responses from each of the remaining candidates, and finally a 30-second redress by the original candidate. We have timekeepers here in the studio, and all participants have agreed to adhere to the time constraints. As for the candidates participating remotely, I have advised them that I will politely interrupt them at the 30-second mark and once again when their times have expired. I want to ask that call-in listeners direct questions to all candidates. Your calls will be screened, and questions directed at all candidates will be taken ahead of calls directed at one candidate. Also, please keep your questions concise, preferably 20 seconds or less, in order to leave time for candidates' responses. The on-air studio line is 510-848-4425. The order in which candidates will respond was determined by random selection, and with that, I want to begin by giving our candidates each 2 minutes to introduce themselves, starting with our first candidate. Our first candidate is Burton White.
Good evening to everyone, and thank you, Mr. Morris, and to the other people on the panel, Carol Travis, Virginia Browning, and Kay Tanaka. It's a pleasure to appear with you. I was on KPFA staff in the 60s doing work in public affairs, and I also was development director and folio editor. My major work, however, was in public affairs, and among the activities at that time that I covered were the free speech movement, and as a volunteer after I resigned for People's Park. Subsequent to my service on KPFA, I went into labor relations representing registered nurses in California and in Oregon. I now reside in Oregon, and if elected, I will attend all the local station board meetings in person. I now practice as a labor mediator and arbitrator in serving the collective bargaining process.
Thank you, Mr. White. Our next candidate will be Kate Tanaka.
Hi, my name is Kate Tanaka. I'm with the United for Community Radio Slate. I will tell you a little bit about my history. I moved to the East Bay in 1998 and became involved in local political affairs. I was happily launched by my initial association with the Unitarian Fellowship Social Justice Committee, where I met people who were well-positioned to help me find roles for myself in the community, most notably Hal Karlstad and Cynthia Johnson. Since I soon moved to Oakland, my efforts shifted toward Oakland as well. I deepened my involvement with the Green Party in the wake of the 2000 election, having had my own consciousness raised by the Nader campaign. I was elected to the Green Party of Alameda County Council and served until June 2010. The specific efforts I have undertaken include a significant involvement in the long-awaited Earth First trial, a historic civil case wherein the FBI and local police were sued by grassroots organizing that spanned many years. I took a leadership role in a referendum campaign to prevent the city of Oakland from selling off a 64-acre parcel of waterfront land to a contractor. I have also involved myself in other civil and human rights efforts and campaigns. Underpinning everything I do is the vital education I'm constantly receiving, compliments of the Pacifica programming. To say that it has been life-changing is an understatement. For years, I've had jobs that permit me to listen to lots and lots of radio, and so it is that I listen to lots and lots of KPFA. For this job, I do have a good amount of energy and patience, and I can think of nothing that I value more than KPFA. While my activist efforts have most often revolved around working to end the power of corporate money to control our lives, our environment, and our elections, it's corporate free media that is the pathway to all these goals. I'm endorsed by United for Community Radio. Please visit votecommunityradio.org to learn about other candidates. Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Virginia Browning.
Hello, I'm Virginia Browning, and I long ago was a radio programmer in Salt Lake City where I grew up. Can somebody, you can't hear me? Okay, so I was a downwinder, and I worked in the cause against basing the MX missiles in Utah. I've worked here for KPFA for a long time as a listener activist. I've gone to a lot of board meetings. I'm a radio lover. I love radio. I've loved radio for a zillion years. People are doing all this funny activities, but I guess you can hear me. Okay, so independent corporate free media, as Kate said, is such an important thing, and I too am running. As endorsed by the United for Community Radio group, and the website for that is votecommunityradio.org. It has the vote in there at the beginning. That's part of the name. We have a great platform, a community resource, both station and network. Who wouldn't want a progressive network in this country? So when I started hearing a lot of controversy at KPFA, I started going to board meetings in the early 2000s. I also was there in 99 and 2000 when 10,000 listeners were out on the street. In fact, I was there before that with people that were concerned about the corporatizing of the Pacifica board before the board as it currently is elected. And I must say that as somebody who's worked in all of the, as on the election committee at KPFA, I've tried really hard to make these elections fair. And despite all the good work of the election supervisors, which for reasons I can't go into because I have no seconds left, they have never really been fair. And we ought to at least try that once. And to recap, just to say, conversation, participation is the main thing I want, and I know I have no seconds left, but that's my thing.
Okay, and thank you all for being here. We're going to get right into the questions section of this debate. Again, questions were selected randomly, and I will just go right into it. Our first question will be for Burton White, and then everyone will be able to come in afterwards. First question, according to the bylaws, what do you see as the two most important duties of the LSV, and how can they be best carried out?
I'm going to respond by dividing it into two categories. One is regarding management. The job is the recommendation of three candidates for station manager and for program director, and to perform annual evaluations of their performance. I think that's the first of the two most important duties. And the second I would identify as budgetary responsibilities, and that is the development of the station budget, quarterly assessments of the income and expenditures, and making sure that everything is on track. How can this be carried out, in my view, is that a committee that is proportionate to the balance of people on the local station board should be created to work out recommendations to present to the local station board. The LSB should sit as a committee of the whole, so concepts can be considered without voting mechanisms until it is time to make final decisions. My point being is that too often the local station board gets hung up in parliamentary maneuvering rather than problem solving, and I prefer the problem solving. And there are other LSB duties that are important. To serve a diversity.
30 seconds, Mr. Burton, sorry.
listeners and to create a diverse staff. And I'll stop there.
Okay. Now, Ms. Tanaka, same question.
I think Mr. White makes good points. My understanding of the most important duties of the LSB are that it review and approve the station's budget and make quarterly reports to the board of directors. And this is a duty, I've been on the LSB long enough now to understand it. This is more easily said than done. The budget is very complicated, very difficult to understand. It's historically complex, and so there's a lot more to that than meets the eye. And the other duty that I am aware of as an important one is to screen and select a pool of candidates for the position of general manager. That's a duty which is assigned in the bylaws to the LSB. And I'll say no more.
Okay, Ms. Browning?
I, too, think that reviewing the budget is extremely important. And it's, Kate said it right when she said it's more easily said than done. It can be very difficult. It can sometimes serve as I've attended many of these meetings, even though I haven't been on the board, because I've been trying to understand and because this is so important to me. And I see how different budgets are brought by not our group, but others. And over, I saw how the majority on the board expected a budget to be passed within 24 hours with no time to even look at it, almost 100 pages long. It's a really, really important duty. Another one, there are others. One is selecting the pool of candidates, also electing members to the national board, which is the body who holds the license for this progressive network.
Okay, thank you. Our next question, again, this will go to Ms. Tanaka. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. Mr. White, you have a 30-second redress.
Isn't Ms. Travis has she had an opportunity to speak?
Ms. Travis did not make it into the studio. I'm sorry.
Oh, I see. I didn't understand that. I'm going to weigh the opportunity to comment. I think we're in general agreement about the important aspects. One thing, if I may, back to the introduction, I did not mention, and if I may now, I'd like to mention that I'm part of the Save KPFA slate, and that information about that can be obtained at savekpfa.com.
Thank you, Mr. White. Okay, our next question is for Ms. Tanaka. What do you believe are some ways for the LSB to fulfill its responsibilities and duties as stated in the bylaws? Be specific and creative.
I believe that the LSB can fulfill its duties primarily by being just actually rather boringly specifically responsible to the things that it's supposed to do. We are supposed to take careful oversight of the budget, not to beat a dead horse here, but that is not an easy task. And we are supposed to produce reports that are also difficult to do. And this is such an important part of keeping the ship afloat. The troubles the KPFA has had in the last few years have come from budgetary problems. We overspent when we had money, and we weren't prepared for to make redress to the problems that we had created by overspending. And these are problems that no one wants, no one embraces, and it's quite unpleasant actually to discover that your surplus of $900,000 has suddenly, after 2 years, gone into the red. So I think that if we take our our role as fiduciary oversight carefully, then we will be going a long way. The other thing, though, that we can do is make sure that we do the outreach that we are tasked to do in the form of public forums. We are supposed to do public forums at least twice a year, and this would be one way of being in touch with the community, hearing the community's input, taking a measure of what impact we're having out in the communities that we really want to serve and who make up what we are as a station, representing a community and serving a community.
Now the same question to you, Ms. Browning.
Is how can the LSB exercise its task with regards to the bylaws? Is that what it is?
Yeah, according to the bylaws, what do you see as the... what do you believe are some of the ways for the LSB to fulfill its responsibilities and duties as stated in the bylaws? Be specific and creative.
Okay, I am really interested in these town hall meetings, and I think in the state that the lack of conversation and dialogue is in nowadays between so many people here, paid, unpaid, and listeners, I think we need at least those two town hall meetings that the majority on the LSB has decided not to do. They keep... Excuse me. I think someone else is going to come in here. They keep... I see that they put agendas out each month where, for some reason, that has fallen off to the bottom of the agenda. And I think we need lots of conversations. Just like the budget, or maybe even more, I think with a paid staff that is understandably concerned about their jobs, and many, many more unpaid staff that need training and resources to do a really wowie-zowie job to make this such an inviting station, we need conversations in the community. And my job, I would see as a board member, is to help to set those up in every way possible. I'm good at talking to individuals, at putting out flyers, at putting out Facebook things, at putting out all kinds of information to try and get that going. Wrap up. That's good enough for now.
Okay, we're gonna take a second. Carol Travis has just made it into the studio, so we're going to get her situated. Thank you. We're back. Ms. Travis, thank you for joining us in the studio. I'm going to direct that question that that Ms. Browning just spoke on to Mr. White.
One of the things that distresses me the most about the board's functioning is that too often there is skirmishing where Robert's Rules of Order, voting, walkouts, that sort of thing, occur rather than a coming together to try to work out and problem solve. And the primary emphasis that I would offer is to invite board discussion concentrating on problem solving and joint planning. Perhaps the board could be broken up into small facilitated discussion groups. The small groups balanced according to the balanced microcosms of the board composition, but to brainstorm and discuss and analyze the board role and seek ways to fulfill the responsibilities.
Mr. White, you have 30 seconds.
everybody can agree to. I'll stop there.
Okay. I'm going to give Ms. Travis an opportunity to respond to this question. The question is, what do you believe are some ways for the LSB to fulfill its responsibilities and duties as stated in the bylaws, be specific and creative?
Well, I'm sorry for being late. I was stuck through the tunnel. If I'm elected to the board, I won't be late. I'm a little jangled because I knew I was late and so on. So the question is not something that I'm not kind of settled in yet. So it's hard for me to address that question. I wonder if I could introduce myself and as a way of settling in. Is that all right if I had the two-minute introduction now? Or
Ms. Travis, I'm going to give you an opportunity to give your two-minute introduction when we wrap this question up. So just
could you say the question again? Because when I haven't really heard the question. I just walked in, and then you said it just now, and I...
Absolutely. What do you believe are some ways for the LSB to fulfill its responsibilities and duties as stated in the bylaws? Please be specific and creative.
Well, my understanding of the important, some of the most important roles in the bylaws are to get a pool of people to be hired as both general manager and program director, and also to address the issues around the budget. So, and also, of course, we're responsible for fundraising. So I think that we all agree that we don't like the on-air pledge drives. And so some work to think about how to use the listener base to get some more money, I think, is something that we can do. I think using web technologies and Twitter and sort of social media more effectively might help us with extending the ability to raise money from our listener base. I think kind of the way in which we look for pools of people is important. The wide-ranging look, maybe going even to places that I have 30 seconds, that we haven't gone before. I can't be more specific than that.
Now, back to you, Ms. Tanaka.
I think I already, I'm supposed to do I'm sorry, I'm lost on the format. Well, I reiterate that as uncreative as it sounds, I do think that we have to be creatively more intelligent in our careful look at the budget. There is much to be gained from the public forums that that the bylaws suggest that we, I think, demand actually that we do twice a year. And I think if we do those things, we will have done a lot.
Okay, thank you. Now I'd like to give Ms. Travis an opportunity to introduce herself for 2 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Carol Travis. I live in Pleasant Hill, and I've been in the Bay Area for 7 years. The first time I heard KPFA, I was driving around in my new hometown and was stunned to hear Democracy Now! On the radio, and I thought, wow, a lefty radio station. And with that, I became a KPFA junkie. Many people tell me I'm crazy for running for the KPFA board, but I think that this radio station is such a unique progressive treasure that once I understood the differences between the slates and the challenges the board faces, I became convinced to run. Now I'm an enthusiastic candidate for the board as part of the Save KPFA slate. Before the Bay Area, I spent my entire life in Chicago. I'm a working-class white woman who grew up in largely black and Latino neighborhoods and worked in factories with heavily black and Latino workforces. I worked in sweatshops and on brutal electronic assembly lines. Then for 20 years, I built locomotives at a huge General Motors complex outside Chicago. The last 8 years I worked at that GM complex, I was privileged to be the president of our union, UAW Local 719. I represented up to 9,000 hourly employees. I left GM, recruited by SEIU, to be their Midwest director, then the Illinois State Council director for SEIU, and worked in various capacities for SEIU for 13 years. I'm formally retired but still active. Until about a year ago, I was chair of the Mount Diablo Peace and Justice Center. I was lucky to be in Zuccotti Park for 10 days last October. Now I am part of the New Priorities Campaign and working on a lawsuit challenging the despicable use of solitary confinement in the state of California. I'm pleased to be on this slate, supported by Save KPFA, and you can check us out at savepfa.org.
Okay, thank you. This next question is directed towards Ms. Browning. Ms. Browning, KPFA uses the airwaves to promote itself, but many people in the Signal area are not aware of KPFA. What other new ways will you have KPFA reach out to find progressive listeners who don't already know about the station?
Okay, first of all, can you hear me? Because I thought I was talking the way they told me to talk into here. So how's this? This is good? Good. So one thing that really needs to be improved is web presence with searchable archives. If you can imagine how great it would be to not only hear the shows that we hear, but have them indexed by subject and by show for so many people to learn and continue to be able to hear all the great segments that are produced here. I mean, in a way, it's kind of a waste. We have a contract web person, and some of us have been urging this to be upgraded, and I know that the general manager has wanted this, and Henry Knorr and others on in our group, United for Community Radio Group, have put together a great document that would give a kind of roadmap for how to get from here to there. So that would be a really big, wonderful thing. In this campaign that I've been doing, and before this one, I was on the outreach committee. I have to say that I mostly quit the outreach committee to do my own partisan stuff because I am really concerned about those that I oppose. So, but in all this kind of outreach, I meet young people all the time at events who don't know anything about KPFA. Sometimes it's because they have their own private radio stations, but often they're interested in progressive causes. You can see that by the Occupy stuff. There was a lot of exciting things in the past year, and there were a lot of exciting things, and we could have done a huge amount. We did put out flyers. We can even put out billboards. We could do what I call conversations, which has to do with the community forums. There are all kinds of social media things that can be done, and that's probably all I have time to say right now.
Okay, Ms. Travis, the same question goes to you.
Would you repeat the question?
Absolutely. KPFA uses the airwaves to promote itself, but many in the Signal area are not aware of KPFA. What are new or other ways would you have KPFA reach out to find progressive listeners who don't already know about the station?
I think that the way radio stations grow is by having great programming. And I don't know to what degree we have reporters who have beats, but I think having reporters that have beats in areas that we are not yet saturated with listeners is a great idea. Having people into, like having a beat on what's going on in gun violence in the East Bay, I think would be a very important beat to cover and a place to find a lot of new listeners. I think just reporting interesting programs that reflect various communities' concerns and being out there interviewing them or bringing them, some of them, into structured conversations about things that are going on in their communities enables us to be heard in communities that we're not heard in as much and can extend our listener base.
To you, Mr. White.
First, I'd like to mention that while I'm going to make some reference to things back when I was on staff, there have been changes, and I recognize that it is the changes that govern in the present day until and unless they are modified by the proper means. And the reason I give that introduction is back when I was on staff, we reached out to find listeners, not just progressive listeners, because there's a lot of KPFA's informative broadcasting that is of service to people who may not be characterized by the word progressive, but may benefit from what KPFA has to offer. But to be specific, establish a KPFA presence at concerts and other venues
30 seconds.
Attended by persons likely to like KPFA if they were to know about it, and through leafleting, interviews, etc., provide information about KPFA. Cover events that relate to KPFA's broadcasting mission. Have staff and volunteers present supplied with handout information about the station. Identify organizations whose mission is such that value can be found in KPFA's programming, and ask to address the membership to educate them.
Okay, thank you.
About KPFA.
Thank you, Mr. White. To you, Ms. Tanaka.
I believe the most powerful thing that we have as a radio station is programming. And so to the extent that our programming is excellent, I think we can expect good results. There is, of course, the ongoing sad fact that despite excellent programming, there are many people who don't know about KPFA. And so I think that there's not only one answer to that, but there are many answers at a tiny level and at a grand level. On a small level, I know in my own life, I've just told people about KPFA, and it's been revolutionary in their lives, too. But I think that if we could develop a little bit of a mechanism by which the people love to hear about themselves and hear themselves on the radio. So if we could sort of employ that phenomenon and enable KPFA to not have a radio station, I mean a radio show for everybody's separate little thing, but if we could have a sort of a port of entry for people who are doing things in the community to contact KPFA and let there be a person at KPFA who's responsible to direct that caller, that person who's doing something interesting, to an already existing show, so that we could deepen our local ties. And without that, wouldn't put a strain on the budget, I don't think. But I think it would really be a positive sort of feedback loop.
And Ms. Browning, back to you.
Well, that's why I am so proud to be running with the United for Community Radio group, because I loved that answer from Kate. And other answers were good, too. I don't particularly like the beat part, because we've had beats before. For example, the labor beat was by somebody who I could never figure out what the subject was. And also, I've also known that there were a lot of unpaid staff that sometimes went out and did things. And then because it's a complicated thing, but some of the paid staff edge them out even when they do good stories. There are so many great shows on that nobody knows about right now. Cross-promote.
Okay, thank you. This question now first goes to Ms. Travis. The question is, how do you feel about the present governance of both KPFA locally and of the Pacifica Foundation as a whole?
Well, I'm not happy, as all of our slate is unhappy with our relationship to Pacifica. Not that we have a relationship, but what the character of the relationship is. We feel that there should be more local control. KPFA, as somebody who came to the Bay Area from an area that didn't have a Pacific station, didn't have progressive radio on the air in Chicago, I'm particularly struck with the special voice that KPFA has. And I think that it should be preserved by having local control. And so I'm not happy with, and we, Save KPFA, is not happy with, for example, the taking away of the morning show and that's impact on our financial base and impact on our listenership, actually. Numbers of people I've run into have told me that, except... The particular people I ran into love Davey D, but otherwise they really miss the morning show. And so we're unhappy with that. It's fine, our local station board, it's great. We have a station board that's elected by listeners. So structurally, we're happy with what we have here locally, unhappy with our relationship and the financial relationship with Pacifica and its lousy financial situation. I have to wrap up.
Okay, Mr. White.
I've already given reference to aspects of contention and dispute on the local station board, and I would like to see, even though people have differences of opinions, more constructive ways of working out those differences into, I hope, a constructive consensus. With regard to Pacifica itself, I fear that the current method of having delegates from each station essentially leads to the possibility of stations forming coalitions and ganging up upon other stations. And for that and other reasons, I am so strongly in favor of increased local station control.
30 seconds, Mr. White.
And I think that is one of the key aspects of the Save KPFA coalition.
Okay, Ms. Tanaka.
I don't have a particular critique of the governance structure. I see that Pacifica is the network. It's the important network that we all value and treasure, actually. And the aspect of locality and localness is KPFA itself and the local coverage and reporting that it provides. But we don't wish to be a bannerstand of progressivism here in Berkeley all by our little selves in some precious way. We are trying, I think, as progressive people and users of progressive radio to spread progressive ideas and analysis throughout the country. And KPFA is one of five stations, but there are, I believe, over 150 Pacifica affiliates. So to me, this is wonderful good news. I know Ms. Travis is objecting to the great elephant in the room, which has been a big issue, the elimination of the morning show. But if you look at the record, you see that the morning show was eliminated as sort of a last-ditch effort to face off a huge financial crisis that had been created by KPFA's refusal to deal with the budget shortfall that it had itself. That's just a simple fact.
I want to remind listeners that we will soon be taking call-in questions. The number for the studio is 510-848-4425 or toll-free 1-800-958-9008. Now, Ms. Browning.
Okay, I'm sorry. Could you repeat the question?
Absolutely. The question is, how do you feel about the present governance of both KPFA locally and of the Pacifica Foundation as a whole?
Okay, well, I do think that having a progressive network is great, and also that is who holds the license. As I said, we've never had a really fair election. I mean, I understand that sometimes during these elections, which I've worked in, one of the issues is presented as how unwieldy and expensive the elections are, and that takes away from the governance somehow. But if we would try what I suggest, the conversation, and Kate and actually Ms. Travis also had some good ideas about that, to try and bring people in, create buy-in, this is what we have. We have a progressive network. We could make use of it instead of disparaging it and trying to rip it apart. We should be celebrating it. So, I'm sure there could be improvements, but they were carefully, when that question comes up, I have ideas. But in general, it's a wonderful potential.
Back to you, Ms. Travis.
It's my understanding, I have a different factual understanding about the financial situation with KPFA and Pacifica. So that's something that would have to be checked. But my understanding is that KPFA has been financially okay, and it's been Pacifica and WBAI that have had financial problems. And so... we just have a different financial understanding. We're not saying end Pacifica relationship. We're saying change the relationship.
Okay. That brings the top half of our debate to a conclusion, and now it's time to move on to questions from callers. Again, I ask that call-in listeners direct questions to all candidates. Your calls will be screened, and questions directed at all candidates will be taken ahead of calls directed at towards one candidate. Also, please keep your questions concise, preferably 20 seconds or less, in order to leave time for candidates' responses. The on-air studio line is 510-848-4425 or toll-free 1-800-958-9008. Jean from Oakland?
Should I give the question now?
Absolutely.
Yes. A number of the candidates have said that they're for local control. I'd like them to expand on that. Somebody just mentioned on programming, but the other concern seems to be financial, and it's referred to partly Pacifica's attempt to raid KPFA's budget. I'd like to know what that means. And do we, as a station, have responsibility, financial responsibility for other stations? I think we do. I'd like to know what exactly, if that would be explained, how much we do and how long our how long it would be on. Is it a crisis basis, or is it like an ongoing support, and is it felt that that's reasonable?
Okay, that question is going to go first to Mr. White.
Okay, I'm going to express my understanding, which may be incorrect, but my understanding is that at one time recently, a KPFA prepared budget was modified by the Pacifica National Board. That sort of, if that were happened, that sort of intervention is undercutting of local station control. It is also my understanding that 20% of what every station raises goes to the network, which I think is a supportive a way to support the network, and I approve of it. But one station for a long time has not been able to meet its costs and has to be sort of subsidized by the other stations. I think that in as much as the national leadership has not taken steps over the many years where this has occurred to correct that situation, has led to an unnecessary draining of local funds. And in that regard, it is troublesome. And so I think there has to be some sort of way in which the rights of the local station can be better protected.
Okay, next that's going to go to Ms. Tanaka. That was Mr. White.
Well, in specific response to what Mr. White said, I It's my understanding that 17% of the income of the station goes to the Pacifica and 2% goes to the archive. And this is to perform, operational tasks and pay the fairly skeletal staff there. I think we're all in agreement that that's reasonable. The station that's being referred to is the New York station, WBAI, which actually is not falling short on fundraising, as I understand it. I think they've raised even a little bit more money than KPFA. What they have, though, is the very burdensome lease that is their the lease to operate out of the Empire State Building at a very high rate. I think that historically it was probably a mistake for them to have gotten into that lease. I don't think that there's any, as far as I know, disagreement about that. But to me, the answer is to solve their problem, help them solve their problem or let them solve their problem, not to to cut off from them or fail to help them remain part of the network. That doesn't make sense to me. It's not been explained to me in any way that would make sense. When KPFA has had troubles in the past, unable to pay its bills, I think that we've been carried to a certain extent at times. In 2010, when we had the big emergency that was the occasion of the elimination of the morning show, we were just seconds away from insolvency. Our $900,000 surplus had completely disappeared in 2 years. That was a crisis, and that's what brought on the emergency type intervention from Pacifica.
Yeah, it was Ms. Tanaka. The question now goes to you, Ms. Browning.
Okay, first of all, there is a lease on New York with an elevator clause, which means it keeps going up hugely every year. And that was negotiated under the Save KPFA majority when they were on the Pacifica National Board. In fact, a candidate that's coming up in the next hour, Dan Siegel, was the corporate counsel who should have, been reviewing that. And now he has put out an article damning our people for that, whereas actually that was under their auspices when that was negotiated, and they in fact wanted to take an even huger loan out that probably would have bankrupted the network. KPFA had went through over $500,000, KPFA, not WBAI, in each of 2 years. So KPFA needs to look at its own problems and not focus on that. Now there is an escape clause in the New York. Under the evil, so-called evil Pacifica board, now there is finally an escape clause on their lease. They will probably move within the year. As far as the skeletal staff goes, and I just wanted to say there are two articles about this at www.danielborgstrom.com. And you can look up Siegel and the article that he put out and the rebutting of it. So he's a really good speaker, and he's good in some local issues. But on Pacifica, I feel that he's been very destructive to the network, I'm sorry to say. But so I think KPFA should have gotten on the air when they got the layoffs. Some of those fundraisers are excellent fundraisers. They could have gotten on there and said, hey, come on, everybody, get together. They have great skills. They could have used it to bring people together instead of pulling them apart into this horrible divisiveness.
That was Virginia Browning. Now the question goes to Ms. Travis.
The crisis that was in KPFA 2 years ago had to do with the elimination of the morning show, which was eliminated by Pacifica. So the crisis was precipitated or caused by Pacifica. The morning show was one of the biggest fundraisers, I think the biggest fundraiser, and we have been lucky enough to kind of come through this anyway, and now have enough money to pay for ourselves and to pay the 20% that we were we used to pay, I understand now, I think we're supposed to pay 30%. So at a time for cost savings, Pacifica cut a show that was the biggest fundraiser, then I believe they increased the share that we're supposed to pay. I may have that wrong. But in any case, they caused us problems financially, even though they may have been in some sense there for us, and being part of a national network is something that has a lot of benefits, but the way in which the finances have been run, I think, is not one of them.
Okay, our next question comes from Marisa.
Hi. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, okay, sorry, let me turn the radio off. So this general question is not actually about the budget. It's about progressive radio and journalism and a certain expectation for excellence in journalism. And unfortunately, a lot of the people on the radio station, I'm not going to name any names, the people on the air, the DJ, the interviewers, some very famous personalities and brilliant people, but they sound illiterate. They are speaking English with incredibly poor grammar, and they are constantly interrupting the people that they're interviewing. And it's really, really irritating. And it's like if they ask a question and you're getting a nice answer, you're getting an interesting answer, why are they cutting off the guests? Well, I'm not asking the people running, but they are cutting off the guests. And it's almost like, oh, my God, are they not saying what you want to hear? So I would like to know what the people elected to the board are going to do to bring up the caliber of the people on the air or give them training or something.
Okay, that's going to go first to you, Ms. Tanaka.
Well, I don't know that I have any power to do what you suggest, but to probably answer the spirit of your question, which is whether or not I agree with you, I would just honestly say I probably don't. I think that we seek to have programs of all kinds that appeal to all kinds of audiences and that are born out of different places from being put on by people with very different backgrounds. And so when you use words like caliber and illiterate, it makes me a little uncomfortable. It makes me feel that that really there's a level that is in your mind acceptable, and a deviation from that is unacceptable. And so I probably am not going to do anything to promote what you really want me to say. Sorry.
Yeah, that was Kate Tanaka. Next, Ms. Browning.
Well, you know, I told you, I do love radio. I love sparkly, wonderful radio. And in some ways, I don't agree with the stuff about illiteracy. But I did hear that a board member say that about one specific show. And then that same person had one of the most amazing shows on Ebonics that I have ever heard in my whole life. And I don't always agree. I wish people wouldn't interrupt. I mean, some of the people that I love interrupt. I think there needs to be more cross-pollination, more training. I think some of those stars of the airwaves that we have that are paid, I think that could be part of the role of some of the station board members is to get this conversation and this process going so that people don't feel so threatened by each other that they will not train each other, will not mentor each other successfully. I agree that sometimes it needs to be better radio. I think that happens with the complexity of a really good cross-pollinating, encouraging dialogue among staff. They don't even have staff meetings here that where everybody goes. I guess I shouldn't say that because it's not my business in a way, but I really wish that people trusted each other enough to be able to work with each other and help each other. And Davey D's great.
Okay, thank you. That was Virginia Browning. Now the question is going to go to Ms. Travis.
On the one hand, I think I agree with the caller, and on the other hand, I don't. I mean, I do think that we want different voices that come from different communities, and that may have sometimes a voice that some people wouldn't like. But that's different than having a voice that interrupts too much or is behaving in ways as if they don't agree with the person they ask the question to, and or that is an unstructured, rambling discussion or an unintelligible presentation. I think that great radio programming is something that we want to achieve. And that doesn't mean that we don't have all kinds of different voices. It means that we, that our wonderful already existing internship or apprenticeship training program be expanded. And possibly there should be some time slots for shows that are one-shot show or a four-part series or a six-part series, so that the structure and the people who are doing the programming don't have to have a show that comes on every week, but covers a subject and gives them the experience in a shorter kind of venue. So I do think that it is important to have good, clear radio station with clarity, and that's it.
And that was Carol Travis. Now the question to you, Mr. White.
First, technically, it's a very important issue raised by the caller. It's not a board function, but I would like to comment further. And I'm going back in the past, I don't want people to think that because I make reference to what happened 50 years ago, that that's where my mind is fixed. But sometimes ideas from that period can generate new thinking. And the concept of KPFA programming when I was on the staff was analogous to a magazine, and the staff was analogous to the editorial function of a magazine, whose job it was to help the submissions become of publication quality. And I think that if someone has great promise, a coalition of the staff, might work with them in terms of perfecting their on-air presence. I don't. That was a function, to a great extent, of department heads. We had a public affairs department head, music department head, drama department head.
30 seconds, sir.
And they were responsible for the quality and helping to improve people become better on-air presences.
Okay, I would like to announce again the number for call-in questions. The on-air line is 510-848-4425 or toll-free 1-800-958-9008.
And I would like to announce that you're listening to 94.1 KPFA Berkeley, 89.3 KPFB Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF Fresno, or online at kpfa.org. The time is just shy of 8 p.m., and regular programming is preempted tonight because we are listening to a local station board election forum. And now back to Aaron Morris.
Hi, our next question comes from Judy. Judy?
First, let me say that 39 years ago, I was a volunteer covering the state capitol for KPFA and KSAN, and I learned so much from my fellow KPFA volunteer. But I'd like to ask each of the candidates whether there's anything in your background or skill set that you could uniquely bring to the board to help achieve what you think should be the goals of the KPFA board.
That is for Ms. Browning.
Okay, well, I was a radio programmer many years ago, and that was back in the tape splicing days, so the technology isn't exactly the same, but I know kind of what it feels like from the inside out, some of the stresses and some of the excitement and power of it. And I remember doing interviews. I did what you did, too. I used to cover things for the state capitol in Utah. And I also did interviews with downwinders and people all over the state, progressive people. It was such an exciting thing to do, to put radio shows on. And that's partly why I know that there are voices all over the place. It's just such a monstrously exciting thing, I can't tell you. So I don't know. Other than my enthusiasm, I've noticed that I'm not afraid to go out and put flyers in people's, maybe not right in their faces, but I sensitively try and engage in conversations with people about the radio that I love. I am a good listener, I think. I was trained as a teacher. Let's see, what else? I don't know. Maybe that's enough for now. I probably have other things, but I can't think of them. But please remember our website, votecommunityradio.org. And one thing I want to say is that I was on the election committee at KPFA, and I believe in an elected board, even with whatever problems it may have, because the two alternatives I can see are a self-selected board, which led to huge money above problems. And the other alternative I see is to engage in a conversation, a really big, wide-ranging conversation where people could, if they really want something better, they should get together and talk it out together. Thanks.
Ms. Travis?
I guess that my most unique contribution is that I've been on a lot of boards, and I've been on all kinds of boards, and both boards that function well, boards that functioned poorly and then functioned well, boards that functioned well and then functioned poorly. But I'm an open-hearted, open-minded person who thinks that radio and the communication of radio is extremely important, and that there are so few treasures like KPFA that can put out the information and progressive messages and information that it needs to be cherished and saved. And so I guess just that I feel the importance of radio and the importance of progressive radio and my ability to work on boards, on all kinds of boards, is what I really bring.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, that was Carol Travis, and before that was Virginia Browning. Now the question goes to Kate Tanaka.
Well, to try to specifically answer your question about whether or not I have any skills specific that that will help me do what I say I want to do, I would like to just say that having been on the board now for a while, I think anybody who pays close attention to the board can't help but kind of mourn the fact that we are very factionalized and we don't work well together. And we don't actually seem to completely acknowledge the existence of one another. There is a very combative atmosphere in which I think everybody's dream is that the other side would just simply vanish into thin air. But I know that's not going to happen. And honestly, I don't even know that I would want my side to have all the responsibility that would entail if it did happen. So I think that what I bring is a genuine acknowledgement that we do have to work together and that we have to find within ourselves something that we can bring to the table that will connect with people on the other side. We really do have many common goals. We are all devoted really devoted to the idea of the precious treasure of progressive radio. I don't think any of us take for granted the fact that we live here, able to walk in and out of the station. We know we can turn on the radio anytime, and nobody's going to like every single program on any station. That's not realistic. But we have something precious, and I think if there's anything I bring to the table, it's just the reality acknowledgement that these are all people that I have to find something I can work with, and I hope to present to them something they can work with.
Thank you, Ms. Tanaka. The question now goes to Mr. White.
First of all, I've had experience on air at KPFA in public affairs and doing reporting. I helped in the extensive coverage of the free speech movement, for example. I was development director. And I mention these things because I think I bring skills from those experiences that might be helpful in the role on the board in making suggestions. I've served on boards, the ACLU of Oregon, the Labor and Employment Relations Association, and that is a situation in which labor, management, neutrals, and academics, all involved in collective bargaining, work together constructively in one organization. And finally, my functioning over the past several years as a labor neutral has given me extensive experience in coalition, rather than traditional bargaining, where people give positions and then fight about them. You focus upon the problem that is necessary to solve, and then invite people to brainstorm and be constructive.
30 seconds.
In solving the problem. It is concentrating upon what is needed to be done rather than fixed positions.
Okay, thank you. I believe our next caller is Mara. Mara? No? Okay. Do we have another caller? Tracy?
Yes.
Oh, hi. Can you ask your question?
Yeah, I'd like to, we've all, as KPFA, gotten postcards and other bits of detritus in the mail describing slates or groups of candidates. And I think that, speaking for myself and probably speaking for lots of other people, could each of you talk a bit about the grouping of candidates you've chosen to associate yourself with and why and what you think your slate or your group of candidates stands for in terms of the future development of KPFA?
Okay, the question goes first to Ms. Travis.
Safe KPFA stands for local control of our station rather than Pacifica having programming, being able to do the programming for us. We also stand for a mix of paid and unpaid staff. I think we stand for growth of paid staff and seeing that the station look to growing a listener base and by professional or skilled, good programming. And we already have a lot of good programming, but using maybe more of the mentoring of the paid people who we have who are on the air skilled for the apprenticeship program, and so that we can have more professional programming. We want we want our station to live within its own budget and the other stations for Pacifica on the budget, and we support Democracy Now! Being part of our programming, and we want fair and respectful treatment of Pacifica employees and volunteers in relation to their unions. And my time is up.
Okay, that was Carol Travis. The question now to you, Ms. Tanaka.
Well, I'm very proud to be part of the slate that I'm on, primarily because of the people who are on it, and also because of what I believe we stand for. We certainly deeply honor all the labor that goes into the production of KPFA programming. It may not be known by everybody that it's only about 20% of the people who work here and do the work of KPFA who are lucky enough to be paid staff and members of the CWA. There was a time when all the work, the 100% of the workers, were members of a union. That changed in, I'm not sure, I think around 2000. But the need to honor all the labor is something that we have not for a moment forgotten. There are many strong labor advocates on our slate, among them Dave Welsh, Larry Shoup, and Ramses Nichols, who is an organizing committee chair of the SEIU Local 1021. Our slate hopes to always keep a very viable financial situation for KPFA and Pacifica so that we will never be vulnerable to any of the kind of sources of money that would in any way compromise our mission or our freedom as progressive corporate-free radio. We are focused on being members of a community and spokespeople for a community that we treasure, as well as producing programs that help members of the community have exposure to excellent political analysis and thoughtful discussion of world events, things that keep us educated so that we can be citizens of a democracy.
That was Kate Tanaka. The question now to Mr. White.
One of the things advocated by the United for Community Radio Group, as I understand it, is to provide an opportunity for people in various underrepresented communities to have access to the air. And while I agree that that fundamental goal is valuable, I think that that access should come in through training programs, through the submission of programs or program ideas, which are then evaluated on their merit and put on the air if they are meritorious to be broadcast, rather than to just turn over the microphone to certain communities. I'm also bothered by the problem of how does one decide what community is served, and of that community, who should be the appropriate spokesperson. That's an aspect of the United for Community Radio that troubles me. On the other hand, and the major reason that I am a candidate for the within the Save KPFA coalition is as an underlying principle,
30 seconds,
respect for the listener and an emphasis upon local station control.
Okay, that was Burton White. And the question now finally to Ms. Browning.
Hi. Okay, well, first of all, I must say that United for Community Radio does not stand for just putting people on the air without going through a careful process. Our group has strongly supported a program council for all the time I've known anybody who's in the group now or who has been affiliated with us. with the United for Community Radio Group. Now, if there have been programs put on in recent years where that didn't happen, it was not through program council, because there hasn't been a program council for, I think, something like 7 out of the last 10 years or something like that. And our group voted to put it back in place. It hasn't been put back in place. One of the things I love about our group is two things that I'm going to pick out of our platform that you can see at www.votecommunityradio.org. It's under the heading Both Station and Network, Financial Viability. And somebody said that implied that there was an invasion by Pacifica. However, it was a very last-ditch thing. Maybe Kate talked about that. But I went to a lot of KPFA board meetings, and there were budgets presented that were just completely out of line. And yet, you know, people wasted time going to every city council meeting in the whole Bay Area presenting it as if these were realistic budgets. But I was there. I mean, there are all kinds of stories written on it. They were not realistic, and the facts did not come out on those to most people. Now, another thing on our list that I love is mutual respect for paid and unpaid staff. And I just wanted to, if we did have cross-promotion of shows, wonderful promotion for some of these shows, Africa Today, Hard Knock Radio, Avacha's show, Apex Express, you might not think so. You know, you might think that's some little thing on the side that most people wouldn't hear, but it's often a really wonderfully done show. These are a lot of these are unpaid staff shows, not all. And people don't know about them because the paid staff tends to promote its own. Time was up.
Oh, thank you very much, Virginia. I believe we have Mara. A question for Mara.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Mara.
Oh, good, I'm on the air. So we heard recently that Pacifica caused the financial crisis by discontinuing the KPFA morning show. But we also heard, in fact, just now, that discontinuing the morning show was a result of KPFA's financial problems. So could the candidates discuss this even further? Also, possibly including the question, did Pacifica actually discontinue the morning show?
Okay, the question first to Ms. Tanaka.
The morning show was discontinued as a result of the financial crisis that KPFA was directly facing. I believe that I am correct in saying that we had, in the course of 2 years, squandered a $900,000 surplus. The morning show was the result of layoffs that were done in accordance with the union contract. I don't know how much more. I think that's pretty simple, actually. The morning show was a two-hour show. It took place during heavy call-in times, drive time. I think it's, it's a wonderful show. Many people miss it. I wish that the thing had been handled differently, because the turmoil that has been the result of its elimination has really, it's caused everybody agony no end. But to suggest that it was not the result of financial crisis is just simply not the fact. KPFA had been told by Pacifica over some period of time that they needed to make cuts, and KPFA could not bring itself, for whatever reason, to do that self-governing act. And that's why Pacifica stepped in, really, at the very last minute. And anybody who looks carefully at the books will find this is the case. And that's why, another reason I am on the United for Community Radio slate.
Thank you. That was Kate Tanaka. Now the question goes to Ms. Travis.
Well, I have a different understanding, and I'm not sure I'm correct, but I do have a different understanding. But I do understand that on the one hand, that I think my understanding is that Pacifica exacerbated a financial crisis by eliminating the morning show, but it did it on the basis of saying that it was going to save money because it was paid staff who was doing the morning show. However, the morning show was one of the biggest funding sources because it was in the morning hours when we therefore got a lot of revenue during our fund drives for support for the morning show. So on the one hand, we cut the morning show to save money, but lost revenue as a result of cutting it. So it's it's complex like that. But and Pacifica did it, and it's my understanding also that some of the union people who were fired as a result of their got their jobs back as a result of challenging the fact that they were fired. So they weren't properly fired. And in this context, Pacifica hired one of the most anti-union law firms in the country, and which is not a good thing for a progressive network to do. So that's my understanding of that issue.
Thank you. That was Carol Travis. Now the question to you, Mr. White.
I don't know the specifics of what happened. I do know that there are a lot of charges and countercharges that have not been established. And I'd like to make a comment about how things have resolved in labor disputes. That is, we have a hearing, and people under oath testify and bring supportive evidence, and then conclusions are drawn about credibility. That's not possible in this situation, but there are two facts that I have heard in the discussion so far. Fact number one is the morning show was an excellent show and had a lot of listener support, both in terms of applause and donations. The other fact is that Pacifica made the decision to drop it. Now, those facts create concern. I can see Pacifica, if KPFA is derelict in its financial obligations, ordering the station to make appropriate cuts, but not going in and making the cuts, the targeted cuts, that Pacifica wants to have done. And I think that was the mistake in this situation. The other comment I want to make, and make a plea to everybody who really loves KPFA, let's forget
30 seconds
of making charges without substantiation.
Thank you. That was Burton White. And lastly, Ms. Browning.
Last sentence was the great one. Let's stop making charges without substantiation. Now, I was there in November of 2010 when the morning show was changed. It wasn't taken off. That's the thing that nobody ever says. I saw the memo. Arlene Engelhardt, the Pacifica ED, took the memo to the Berkeley Labor Council, and it was despite all this financial problem and all the work that she had ahead of her. Maybe Ms. Travis can understand this as somebody who was a high-level executive, how hard this was during this time. She had so many problems to deal with. And these guys who were master fundraisers on the air, instead of getting on and saying, wow, let's all get together and figure this out, they got on there, they sowed dissent, they took this bogus case to every city council in the whole Bay Area, and Ms. Engelhardt brought the memo from the union people saying we will not get onto that morning show and help out with it. So they took their own morning show off. They did not let anybody else use the passwords for the show. And my group, United for Community Radio, doesn't want me to say all this negative stuff. So please remember, they're not as angry about this as I am. They're nice people that love to get along with everybody, but I was there, and it really annoys me that this is the way it's presented. Also, our group has never wanted to take Democracy Now! Off the air, so that implication is completely wrong. And Brian was always, he was told from the very start at the Labor Commission that he could bump the next person and get back on the show. He just didn't. He chose to wage this public relations campaign instead. He's a very talented person. I agree with that. He's talented.
Okay, I think that's all the time we have for call-ins. Now, we're going to start to wrap this up. So I'm going to give 30 seconds for each candidate to give a closing statement, and beginning with Ms. Carol Travis.
Well, I encourage everybody to support the Save KPFA slate, and you can learn more about it by going to savekpfa.org. I think we have a wonderful radio station with all kinds of terrific substantive political shows and also wonderful music shows, and have lots of great voices on the air, and I think it's important that we keep this, our ability to have our own voice. My time's up. So local control and Save KPFA.
Okay, thank you. That was Carol Travis. Now, Burton White, would you like to wrap up?
In my view, KPFA's primary obligation is to the listener, not to those who use the microphones or to the personal views of those who determine what is put on the air. The station should strive to present viewpoints of importance in the public dialogue that are not available or not as available in or on other media. It should also continue to report on activities of importance, such as the following historical highlights, the demonstrations against the House Committee on Un-American Activities.
Thank you. Thank you.
And more recently, such activities as the Occupy movement.
Okay, thank you, Mr.
White. More on SaveKPFA.com.
Thank you. Now to Ms. Browning.
30 seconds, is that right? VoteCommunityRadio.org. Vote is part of the name. We have a great platform. We call for mutual respect for paid and unpaid staff. We have people like Andrea Pritchett in our group who's gone out and done massive amounts of outreach for KPFA, not just for our group. We have all kinds of excellent people like Kate and Ron Zace, union people, labor people, conversation, that's it.
Thank you, Ms. Browning. And now, finally, Ms. Tanaka.
This is Kate Tanaka. I'm part of the United for Community Radio slate, and I urge you to go to votecommunityradio.org. And I'm going to use my wrap-up time because I want to chime in about this alleged union-busting law firm that Pacifica hired. That's a story that's been floating around. But that union-busting law firm was one of the law firms that was on the list that the Pacifica had for as part of their insurance in order to defend themselves against a lawsuit. It had nothing ever to do with any labor negotiations with KPFA or Pacifica. And again, I'm Kate Tanaka.
Thank you. That's all the time we have. I want to thank the candidates for being here and also the listeners for calling in. I also want to take a moment to remind the listener that ballots are due by December 11th, and if you have already mailed in your ballot without having first heard from the candidates and would like a new ballot, or if you have questions about tonight's forum, then please contact me. It is election@kpfa.org, or leave a message at 510-848-6767, extension 212. You may also contact the help desk at Election Services directly to request a replacement ballot. This includes any of you for some reason who have not received a ballot. That toll-free number to that is 866-720-4357. Thank you for listening to this first of five debates. Please stay tuned for immediately the next debate. Thank you.